Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and welcome to It's All About Food. I love food, and I love talking about food. So today I thought I would get started by telling you what I eat and why I eat it. And so what I did was, for the last week, I wrote down everything, all the meals that I had, and I want to give you some detail about them and show you how delicious healthy eating can be and how easy it can be and how creative and full of variety it can be. But first, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about myself. I have a background in chemical engineering. I got a bachelor's and master's degree. I worked in the semiconductor industry for about 20 years. And now I'm very involved with food, but I want to tell you, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a dietitian. But I know a lot about nutrition. I've basically read a lot of books. And that reminds me of a commercial that went on maybe, I'm dating myself, but a long time ago. I remember it was, maybe it was for the library, but it was a commercial where there's a young Abraham Lincoln before he becomes president, and he comes into an office and he's looking for a job, and he's, you know, that tall, lanky, thin guy, and he's looking somewhat sad, and the person interviewing him asks him, what are your credentials? And Abraham Lincoln says, I've read a lot of books. I always like that. Abraham Lincoln became president with about 18 months of formal education. My point is that we certainly can learn a lot from the information that we read, and there's a lot of information out there. In fact, some of it can be extremely overwhelming. We can read a lot of things that contradict each other, and you may wonder, wow, how do I know what's true? And I have a number of recommendations. One is, it's somewhat time-consuming, but when you read something, you really need to check the source. Where did it come from? And often in a book, there might be references in the back, and you can see where they came from, and you might want to follow it a little further by going to that source, and follow the source all the way to the origin. That will tell you a lot about the credibility of the information. Oftentimes, there are things that are said or things that are written, and there's no way to trace back where it came from, and so it loses a lot of its credibility. We really make a great effort to give you the references and cite our sources and provide very credible, reliable sources for our information. So I wanted to start with last Thursday. And sometimes I have two meals, and sometimes I have three. It really depends. But the wonderful thing about this diet is I eat when I'm hungry, and I eat as much as I want. And when you're eating the right things, you really can do that. So sometimes for breakfast, I like to start with a smoothie. And last Thursday, I had a smoothie. And they're really easy. This one consisted of some frozen strawberries and frozen blueberries, and they're organic. I get them usually at a store called Trader Joe's, and there's a number of them here in New York. And I like to add a banana, maybe some soy milk, and I'm very fond of a green powder. My green powder that I get is from a site called Dr. Ben Kim's. There's a number of different green powders out there, but basically it's dried green food from leafy green vegetables that are very high in nutrients. And this particular powder I use is a wide combination of different vegetables, so it's not just one or two, and it gives you a big broad spectrum of nutrition, and you blend that in with the fruit and the soy milk, and it's really a great breakfast, a great way to start the day. On lunch for Thursday, I was really treated to a very special salad by my partner Gary. And this was a Chinese vegetarian chicken salad. This was really phenomenal. Very fresh romaine lettuce. And occasionally we like to use this vegetarian chicken. It's soy-based, We get it from a place called Meihua down in Chinatown. And along with it, there were some toasted almonds and some sesame seeds and a very light dressing. And it was, I just couldn't get enough of it. It was so tasty and so phenomenal. And the wonderful thing is you could eat a lot of it and feel satisfied, and you're getting a lot of nutrition, and it was very low fat. And that evening, we followed it with what I like to call the fo-fo. What I mean by that, I'll spell it F-A-U-X, pho, and P-H-O for the Vietnamese noodle soup. And we like to make a broth by sautéing a number of different vegetables like onions and carrots. And I like to add cilantro, scallions, and depending on what we have, sometimes I might add a little leftover wine, or sometimes tea. We have some very strong, almost vegetable broth tasting teas that add flavor to the broth. And then adding a variety of different noodles. Sometimes it's soba, sometimes it's a rice noodle. And we get big bowls of these soups, and it's really, really very satisfying. So that was Thursday. Friday morning, one of my favorite cereals is muesli, and I make it myself. It's really very simple. I buy organic oatmeal in bulk. And then, depending on what I have in the house, I vary it. I'll add, this particular time, I used fresh apple, chopped finely, always organic, and chopped banana. And then what I like to do is add raw nuts and seeds. And I can't say enough about the use of raw nuts and seeds. You never want to eat a lot of them, but just a small handful is really great on a daily basis for a lot of reasons. The raw nuts and seeds are filled with nutrients, and that's really where you want to get your fat. We do need fat in the diet, but the fat we need should come from a whole food that's complemented by other nutrients and fiber. Fat really shouldn't come from oils or from animal foods. And so in nuts, for example, I like to sprinkle sunflower seeds and pecans, sometimes pumpkin seeds, and I mix that with the raw oatmeal and the fresh fruits that I have. And then sometimes I add shredded coconut, just a small amount, but it's lovely to mix all these different very fresh flavors. And then you can top it with a soy milk or a rice milk. Some people like to use a fruit juice. I like plain soy milk, just soy and water, no salt, no added sugar. And then if you like a little sweetness, you can pour a little agave on it, which is my favorite sweetener, which comes from the cactus. Or you could use some maple syrup. But the nuts, they are so important in the diet, and they do so many wonderful things. Sunflowers, for example. I'm reading here from a website, whfoods.com, and they say that sunflower seeds are an excellent source of vitamin E, the body's primary fat-soluble antioxidant. And vitamin D does a lot of wonderful things. It has a significant anti-inflammatory effect. It can help in the reduction of symptoms from asthma, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and it's been shown to reduce colon cancer and the frequency of hot flashes in women. It's really wonderful. But the thing is, vitamin E is really important, but we really don't want to get it in a bottle. We want to get it from our food. And sunflower seeds are one great place to get that. Raw nuts and seeds are also great to help reduce cholesterol. And it's interesting because people really are confused about food and what we should be eating and what we shouldn't be eating. And a lot of people think nuts are fattening and we shouldn't be eating nuts. Well, certainly the nuts that are roasted in oil and covered in salt and come in those bags and cans are not the kind of nuts you want to consume. You want your nuts to be raw and fresh. And be careful, because sometimes you can buy a nut and it has already gone bad and it has a rancid taste to it. You certainly don't want to eat a nut if it doesn't taste good. So when I buy my nuts, I keep them in the refrigerator and I use them for a lot of things. So that was Friday's breakfast, muesli. And Friday night, I skipped lunch that day. And we ended up having a wonderful brown rice pasta with some vegetables and tomato sauce. And what I do is I buy cases, literally cases, online of tomato sauce, organic tomato sauce, or organic tomatoes, excuse me, not sauce, with no salt. I really try and minimize the amount of salt in the diet. It's not healthy to consume a lot of salt. And most processed foods, most prepared foods come with salt. It's really hard to find even tomatoes without salt. So I buy them by the case online. And so we always have them in the house, and they're always available for everything. And we made a wonderful batch of tomato sauce that we added to the brown rice pasta, and it had some great fresh veggies in it, zucchini and onions and carrots. And it was very filling and very satisfying. Tomato sauce, of course, provides you with an essential nutrient called lycopene, and there's more lycopene available when the tomatoes are cooked. So that was Friday. So Saturday morning was really great. I made one of my favorite dishes, waffles. What was great about these waffles is they have no oil in them, and they are made from rolled oats and cornmeal. And then I like to add some nuts and seeds. And what I discovered this time, which was really fun, was usually I grind flax seeds and I make a whole jar of them, and then I keep them in the refrigerator and I use them when I need them, and normally I add some ground flax seeds to my waffle batter. Flax seeds add a lot of wonderful nutrition. They give you those omega-3 fatty acids that are really, really important. But they also act like eggs, and if you mix flax seeds with water, you get this almost a slimy texture like you get with egg whites. So they're great for binding baked goods. But I didn't have any ground flax seeds when I made them on Saturday, but I had whole flax seeds, and I was a little too lazy to grind them first. So I added them with my batter and blended them all together. Now, you have to break the flax seed up, so I did put them in the food processor in order to get them broken up a bit, but they didn't break up all the way. Anyway, the waffles had a very different flavor, almost buttery. The flaxseed, when freshly ground and not ground all the way, gave it a really wonderful buttery flavor. So those were the waffles, and they were very light and very crisp. And I topped them with some blueberries. I took some of the frozen blueberries that I have and just heated them up in a saucepan, and that makes a wonderful syrup, a wonderful sauce. Really, a perfect breakfast, very, very, very satisfying. Moving over to Saturday evening, we had a very, what I like to call, clean dinner. We had some steamed string beans, some boiled potatoes, and a very, very large salad. And sometimes that's just what I want, very simple food, and it's very satisfying. And you know, when you buy food that's organic, I can't say enough about organic food, you're going to find the food naturally has so much flavor, and you don't have to do much to it. An organic yellow potato, for example, is so phenomenal on its own. And I wanted to just talk. I was reading. Oh, I'm trying to get it here. Oh, not here. I was reading an article by one of my favorite doctors, Dr. McDougall. And he likes to promote the starch-based vegetarian diet. He's really big about how people should base their diet on starch foods, whole complex carbohydrate starches from brown rice, potatoes, those sorts of things. He can't say enough about them. And here's another myth, that just like the nuts, a lot of people think if they eat a lot of potatoes, a lot of rice, they're going to get fat. And it's really not the potatoes, it's really not the rice. It's all the other things that we put on top of it. If we add a lot of oil, we add a lot of butter, we add sour cream, it's the things on top of those innocent foods that give us the calorie and give us the fats. But it's the complex carbohydrates that give us the feeling of being full and give us a lot of nutrition. And so we had some wonderful boiled potatoes, the steamed string beans, and a really phenomenal salad. Sunday morning was another great breakfast. I like to make a tofu scramble that has the look and feel of eggs. And so if you take tofu and you can put it in a frying pan and heat it up and add a variety of different vegetables, and it's really up to you. I like to use onions, maybe saute them a little in water. I don't like to use a lot of oil again. And add whatever vegetables I have that are available. And mix it with the tofu. And then use a little turmeric. Turmeric's really a great spice. And what it does is provides the yellow color that makes the tofu look like eggs. And we topped off the scramble with a little cashew cheese, and it's basically a blend of cashew and some spices and a little miso paste, but it provided just enough fat and just enough salt to really round out the flavor without adding too much fat and salt. And then we took this tofu scramble and put it in a brown rice burrito and rolled it up. And it made a really lovely, lovely breakfast. Sunday night, I went to a restaurant here in Manhattan, and we're really very fortunate in Manhattan. It's one of the great food centers of the world. And there are so many wonderful vegetarian and vegan restaurants, and also many veg-friendly restaurants. And I went to one in the Village called Village Natural, and they have a lot of really, really wonderful salads and mixtures, somewhat Japanese-based, but you get a lot of food, and it's healthy, and I like them because they also have pressed juices, and I always have a green juice every day, and that's a juice with dark leafy green vegetables, kale, collards, parsley, broccoli, collards, whatever is available. And then I might add some celery, some carrots. And I find that green juice is really essential in the diet. It boosts your immune system. It's a great way to get a lot of nutrients without having to take supplements. And it's really the best way to get a lot of nutrition. Monday was followed by basically the same breakfast we had on Sunday. We had leftovers, so we had another tofu scramble and salad. I really like having salad in the morning, and sometimes I do. Some people think salad in the morning, but why not? And the thing, you know, when I talk about having salad, one thing that people don't realize is when you have a salad, you can have a huge bowl, not just a small plate. You've got to eat a lot, and you eat a lot so that you feel full. And if you're still hungry, eat more. The wonderful thing, as I said, on this type of diet is you don't have to worry about counting calories. You don't have to worry about feeling hungry. If you're hungry, you just eat more of the healthy foods. It's really a wonderful thing. It's very liberating. One of the things I like to do to make my salads taste good and fresh is to start with, I use a salad spinner, and I resisted getting a salad spinner for years. For some reason, I just didn't think I needed one, but it's really very useful for a number of reasons. One is it's a great way to clean salad, and some salads come with a lot of dirt in them, and you can use it for other vegetables as well. And it's especially convenient if you have a small space and you don't have a lot of room to spread the vegetables around and clean them. You can keep them all in the salad spinner and get them nice and clean. But one thing I've discovered recently, I buy a lot of my organic salads in bags. You know, the mixed mesclun green salads or the baby spinach salad, sometimes arugula. There's a lot of wonderful combinations that are available. And they're very easy to use because they're all clean and fresh. What I like to do, even though they say that they're already washed, I like to put them in the salad spinner, let them rinse in water for a few minutes, and then dry them in the spinner. And I find that really freshens the leaves. The leaves have an opportunity to absorb some more of that water, and they become crunchier, fresher, crisper. And it's also healthier, I think, because we want to eat food that has a lot of water in it. You know, we're mostly water, and we need to consume water all the time. And one of the best ways to get hydrated is from water and food. So I recommend hydrating your lettuce a little more by letting it soak in the salad spinner. So that was Monday. And yesterday, I had another muesli in the morning, like I said, the rolled oats with some raw nuts and seeds, and I used a pear, some raisins, really very satisfying. And last night we had a fun dinner, which was tofu burgers with yam fries, nice big salad, and a small soup. Similar to the fo-fo I talked about earlier, the nice broth with the noodles in it. For the tofu burgers, I usually buy... There's a brand called Wildwood, and Trader Joe's also has their own version of it now, but it's a really nice burger. It has almost an egg-like flavor to it, and I like the sprouted grain buns. Sprouted grains are, if you're going to have bread, it's really a good way to do it, because when the grains are sprouted, they're more easier to digest. There's more nutrients in them, and it's definitely a better way to go. So Ezekiel makes a great hamburger bun with sprouted grains. And then we like to make yam fries, and the way to do it is just to slice up the yam into steak-sized fries, brush them very, very lightly with oil, not a lot, and then bake them in the oven. And when they're organic, usually, they're really wonderfully sweet. Just a great food. So that was my week. I just wanted to finish up talking about the week of meals, and one thing that I like to add to my salads is some sort of seaweed. I have a variety of dried seaweeds in the house, dulse and kelp. And as I said before, I really try and avoid salt. And what I wanted to bring up is the nutrient iodine. Now, we need iodine for a healthy thyroid. It enables the thyroid gland to produce thyroid hormones. And a lot of people have problematic thyroid function, and one of the reasons is because perhaps they're getting not enough iodine or perhaps too much. And a lot of people get iodine from iodized salt, And so when you eliminate salt in your diet or try and reduce salt, you may not get enough iodine. Now, some people get iodine from milk, and you may not be aware of it, but iodine, farmers give cows iodine fortified feed to prevent infection, and they also use a sanitizing iodine solution on the cow's udders and milking equipment. So there's a lot of iodine in dairy products, and that can lead to a lot of problems. I'm looking at an article from Science Daily that shows that there's a connection between acne, milk, and iodine. And so too much iodine can aggravate the face and cause some acne. But we do need to get a certain amount of iodine. And so I like to get it from seaweed. And a very small amount gives you all that you need. For example, like a quarter teaspoon of my kelp powder really will do it. And I like to sprinkle it on my salad. It just gives a really subtle flavor, not really somewhat like salt, but just enough to tie all the flavors together, and then I get the iodine that I need. Okay, so now I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that are in the news related to food, food and health, food and the environment. I mentioned Dr. John McDougall earlier and his promotion of a starch-based diet. He has a website, drmcdougall.com, drmcdougall.com. Lots of wonderful information out there at his website. And he just put out a newsletter, and he's talking about that there's a new proposed law in California that requires doctors to provide patients with information on diabetes and heart disease, and that patients usually get inadequate or incorrect information from their doctors. Often they're told that surgery, angioplasty, and bypass for chronic coronary artery disease is life-saving, when actually scientific research says otherwise. Dr. McDougall also says that the information is based on very limited information about the fact that there's no education about the role of the rich Western diet in the cause of coronary artery disease and the right way to eat to prevent it. And patients are rarely told that changing to a healthy, low-fat, plant food-based diet will relieve symptoms of heart disease, including chest pain, and reverse the underlying disease. So this is really exciting that there's a new law that's being proposed where doctors will have to give more adequate information, more correct information, and that will include the information that a healthy diet, a low-fat, healthy, plant food-based diet can relieve symptoms, but not only relieve symptoms of heart disease, but a low-fat, plant-based diet has been shown to reverse and prevent most cases of heart disease and diabetes. And a lot of people don't know that, and it's really quite sad because there's really a lot of unnecessary disease, a lot of unnecessary pain and suffering. And all people have to do, it's so simple, is to switch to a very delicious, healthy, varied, low-fat, plant-based diet. I wanted to talk about an article I recently read in the San Francisco Chronicle. And I mentioned earlier that John Robbins, he wrote his groundbreaking bestseller in 1987 called Diet for a New America. And that's where he brilliantly tied together the concept of how our food choices affect our health, the environment, and the treatment of animals. Well, very recently, John Robbins, who is a really phenomenal man and has done so much for so many people, he was a victim of the Bernard Madoff scandal, and he and his family lost all of their life savings. And so he was interviewed recently in the San Francisco Chronicle, and some of the things that were said in this article I found really beautiful and worth sharing. The author, David Ian Miller, he writes, that if we become too focused on money, we lose sight of why our lives truly matter in the same way that obsessing about one's death could keep you from living fully. If we're too worried about the collapse of capitalism as we know it, we could cheat ourselves out of the opportunity to simply enjoy everything else that we already have, our families, friends, community, pets, and all the little pleasures like that first delicious cup of coffee in the morning. And I think what he brings up is really, really important, especially now because so many people are going through financial difficulty. And in order for us to meet that challenge and move through that challenge and get to the other side successfully, we have to really have some clarity and realize what's really important in our lives. And then John writes, or John responded in this article, I want to read it to you. We have defined the good life in terms of accumulating stuff. In our society, if you say somebody is a success, what does that mean? It doesn't usually mean that they are an emotionally balanced, loving human being. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are creative and artistic and adding beauty to the world. We reserve that word for people who have made a lot of money. I find that to be illustrative of a way of thinking that has caused us great spiritual impoverishment and has caused the planet massive devastation. It has also pitted us against each other by breeding a hyper-competitiveness out of which we have exploited other people and harmed them for financial gain. Wow. That's really powerful. And I just want to tie that all together with the importance of food, actually, because we put a lot of focus on our food and the kinds of food we eat, and sometimes we want to look successful, and so we want to go to a fancy restaurant, we want to order the most expensive thing on the menu, it's all very impressive, and yet it doesn't bring us health. It doesn't bring us success. It doesn't bring us happiness. It brings us disease. It's really important to get our priorities in line. What's really important? And one of the things that I find is really important is nourishing our bodies, nourishing our soul, nourishing our families with really good nutrition. And in a time where we may not have a lot of extra money to go around, our spending budget should give a lot of priority on the food that we eat. And some people are looking for the cheapest food that they can get so that they can feel full, and they're buying a lot of low-nutrient food, empty calories. And this is a very sad phenomenon, and it really isn't difficult to eat healthfully and inexpensively. Certainly when you're buying organic, there are a lot of foods that are very high priced. You don't have to buy them, but it's not expensive to buy organic whole grains and beans, legumes. There's a wide variety of them, and many generations all over the world have lived on some version of legumes and whole grains in many impoverished communities. It's a very nutritious way to eat and very inexpensive. There was another interesting article written by a colleague of mine, Jeffrey Smith, and he has been doing a lot of research over the years on genetically modified food, and I haven't heard enough recently about genetically modified food. We seem to have gotten a little numb about it, and it's not a good thing, because we have a lot of genetically modified food out there, and it's not a good thing. Jeffrey Smith wrote recently in an article about wondering if Obama's food safety team will regulate the biggest food safety hazard of our time, and he's talking about genetically modified food. And interestingly, he points out that the Obama family has wisely chosen to have... I'll reread it again. The Obama family has wisely opted out of exposing themselves to GM, or genetically modified foods, by requiring organic, and therefore non-genetically modified organism foods, served at the White House. They are even planting an organic garden on the south lawn of the White House to feature 55 types of vegetables. Now that's great, and that's a great type of thing to know and to encourage all of America to do. Interestingly, the Bush family also had an organic kitchen policy. Laura Bush was adamant about it, but kept it all quiet. Gives me a little feeling of Marie Antoinette and the let them all eat cake syndrome when the French were clamoring for bread. But the important point here is the people in charge, the people in the know what's best, and they choose organic food. And yet, we need more policies that discourage and disallow the growth of organic foods. Interestingly, there's a lot of symptoms, illnesses and symptoms that have increased since genetically modified foods have been introduced into our food supply. Some of them, things like asthma and allergies. And Jeffrey Smith writes that when GM soy, canola, cottonseed, when they came on the scene in 1996, the proportion of Americans suffered from three or more chronic ailments. And after 9 years, that nearly doubled to 13%, and genetically modified foods are the prime suspect. And we've seen an explosion of growth of food-related ailments such as allergies, asthma, obesity, autism, infertility, gastrointestinal disorders, and learning disabilities. And there's a lot of reasons for this. We're eating a lot of processed foods that aren't really real food, and they come with a lot of artificial ingredients, a lot of artificial flavors and preservatives that we don't need in our bodies. And in addition to that are the genetically modified foods, and we really have no idea what they are doing to us. So hopefully our administration will get a little more rigorous control on some of these foods. Okay, I'm going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is It's All About Food. Okay, in the last segment, I want to talk a little bit about the environment. And I'm reading an article here about walking and how walking restores the world and humanity. And Bill Byrne writes here that there's only one way humans are made to move. We're basically made to walk. And there are other ways of getting around, but the real way we're meant to move around is walking. And there are so many wonderful things. Oh, we have a phone call. Okay, I'll take a break here and welcome our caller. Yes?
Yes. I had a question regarding travel and being vegan. Actually, probably about 95% raw, and traveling internationally. How do you deal with that, you know, in trying to keep that lifestyle and in eating properly?
Eating raw while you're traveling?
Or at least close to it.
Okay, well, it really depends on where you're traveling to. For example, if you're going to be going to India, that's going to be more challenging than if you're going to France.
Okay.
There's a lot of places all over the world that have local markets. And I'm not raw now, but I was for 2 years, and I traveled all over the place. So what I would tend to do is as soon as I landed in a place, I would find a market. And I would buy apples, oranges, whatever fruits I could get my hands on and keep them in my hotel room or wherever I was staying. And, you know, it really depends on where you're going. If you're going to Costa Rica, for example, papaya is a great food. It comes with its own natural packaging, and you can just cut into it with a plastic knife, and it's ready to eat. So it really depends on where you're going. But sometimes I like to bring some things with me, things that are packable. I mentioned this green powder earlier, and the green powder that I use mixes well with fruit juice. And if you're in a place where you don't think you're going to be getting fresh greens, which are really important, then I would just load up on the green powder and have it whenever you can.
Okay, that sounds great. My concern was, because I'll be in the Middle East,
okay,
and place is pretty up-to-date with things, but you know, I was concerned about properly washing fruits and vegetables and so forth, and you know, making sure I have no problems that way. But the green powder sounds great. I just don't want to get bored with just that or end up eating having only that.
Right. Well, there's certainly a lot of raw foods in the Middle East. I've only been to Israel. I'm not familiar with the other countries, but they're really great with salads and watermelon. There's a lot of fresh food that you can eat. But also, I wouldn't advise, don't worry about cooked food, especially when you're traveling. There's a number of cooked foods that are healthy. They do a lot of beans there, fava beans, a lot of things with tahini, and I think you'll do okay.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, great. That was a great question. A lot of people wonder how they can stay healthy when they're traveling. And I've done a lot of traveling. I've lived in France, and I was a vegan in France. Somehow managed to live healthfully and happily and not eat the cheese. I've spent a lot of time in Europe and in Central America, parts of Asia. In fact, I think it might even be easier in some other countries to eat a plant-based diet, because it's really America that has brought what we call the SAD diet, the standard American diet, to the rest of the world, the heavy animal foods, the highly processed foods. You can go all around Europe and get great salads, fresh tomatoes, fruits. There are farmers markets all over the place. And you can explain in restaurants what you'd like to eat. And, you know, if you do it in a polite and friendly manner, they're going to do their best to provide you with what you need. I never had a problem in France in the 4 years that I lived there, except one time. And we were going to a very, very well-known, famous French restaurant in Lyon. And we gave the restaurant 2 weeks' notice. Normally, I go into restaurants spontaneously and just explain my diet and don't have much of a problem. But this time, it was a very fancy restaurant. We gave them 2 weeks' notice, faxed them the day before we were coming, and they let us know that there wasn't going to be any problem. When I showed up, they didn't know who I was, and the whole evening was a disaster. But most of the time, it's really very easy. In the Middle East, when I was in Israel, in fact, I spent a considerable amount of time there 20 years ago, and that's when I decided to go vegan while I was spending 3 months in Israel. They have a lot of wonderful food. Certainly, there's the hummus, which is the chickpea-based puree, a lot of great fresh salads. The Israeli salad is typically chopped tomatoes, cucumber, parsley, and then lime juice or lemon juice, really fresh. And you can get fava bean dishes. I love the fava bean, and they're not easy to find, especially in the Middle Eastern restaurants here in the country. But they're wonderful, either cold or served in salads, or heated up with, prepared with lots of garlic and lemon juice. Really fabulous. And then there's tabbouleh salad, which is a bulgur grain served with lots of parsley and some tomatoes, lemon juice, mint. Great salad. So each country has a lot of their own specialty foods, and a lot of them, believe it or not, are vegetable, plant-based, or fruits. And so it's not that hard to travel and eat healthfully. But one thing you have to do if you're going to be meeting with business colleagues or with friends or people you've just met or people that are going to be inviting you to their homes, you need to tell them in advance. You need to explain just exactly what you eat and tell them that, you know, they don't have to prepare something for you. You can bring something, or if they want to prepare something for you, they need to know what it is you eat. You definitely don't want to show up at a special dinner and not let them know, because they will have prepared things for you and will be very disappointed if you don't eat them. But that's really a general lesson in life, where you communicate. It's important to communicate about everything and let people know what your needs are and what you expect. But traveling is great, and I think it's a wonderful thing when we experience other cultures and other people's style of foods. I love traveling. I just came back from Costa Rica recently, and the thing I love about Costa Rica is the fruits. As I mentioned before, the papaya, and a lot of fruits actually come in their own packaging. A banana, it doesn't need a plastic bag or anything. When you're ready to eat it, you just peel it and eat it. Lots of wonderful mangoes and avocados and pineapple, and then some things that we rarely see here in the United States, sapote. Just really, really love all the fresh food there. Okay, so I want to wind up a little bit. There were a few other things I wanted to mention. For example, I read this article I thought was really interesting. I didn't know this, but here in Manhattan, we have some Echo police officers. They're responsible for finding different things that people are doing with regard to the environment. They are enforcing environmental laws. And so when people have oil-oozing body shops, or they're discharging antifreeze or noxious substances, different toxic things that get out into the environment, a lot of times we see them. I really didn't know that we actually have police officers that are looking for these things and citing people in order to prevent these toxic materials getting out into the environment. That's really an encouraging thing. Okay, so I want to wind up the show. I want to thank you all for listening. And I'm Karen Hartglass. I hope you've enjoyed the music for the program. My brother, Barry Hartglass, is the composer of the music that I use. Really wonderful. And you can hear more music at barryhartglass.com. So thank you, Barry, for the great music. So thank you. Eat healthfully. Have a great day.